you.
Thank you.
And with that, I believe we have one more individual that is here with us today. And if everybody would be so kind, I'd like to take item number 20, and then we will be done for today. Private Lands Habitat Program.
Yes.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, thanks for having me here this afternoon. Quick note on that last presentation, my office is right beside the outdoor, or is in the Outdoor Adventure Center there in Brookings, and there's always kids going by with scooters, carrying their fishing rods, going to the ponds there, so pretty neat to see. Today, I'm going to be talking about, or first off, my name's Will Bellman, I'm a private lands habitat biologist out of Brookings. And today I'm going to be talking about some of the private lands programs that the department has to offer. Not going to go into great detail on all of those just for the sake of time, but I am going to touch on some of those opportunities. Hit on partnerships and conservation, project highlights, some public hunting access opportunities, and then also challenges and opportunities that we're facing out every day. In the state, we have 12 private lands habitat biologists, three in each region. I'm over here covering the I-29 corridor in region three. So cover Brookings, Kingsbury, Lake, Moody, Half of McCook, Minnehaha, and Lincoln counties. Want to quickly highlight a couple of resources for different programs that we have out there. New to 2026, we have the Private Lands Habitat and Access Program Guide. So kudos to Ryan Wenninger, Eric Megadans, Mark Norton, and Allie for putting this together. It's available to the public as well as biologists across the state. We also have our Landowners Matters newsletter that goes out to landowners across the state in both the spring and fall. This highlights some program opportunities as well as different articles on how to better habitat management. These can all be found on our Habitat Pays website online, along with additional information. For programs, I'm going to start off with our food plot program, since our biologists, as well as the help of COs and other habitat staff, have wrapped up food plot seed handouts for the year. So a couple things I want to highlight here, mainly the number of cooperators that we have in this program. Throughout the state, there's over 1,700 cooperators in this program, so it reaches a large audience, and a lot of times this turns into additional habitat projects on the landscape. Another popular program that we have is our Woody Habitat Program, and within this umbrella, there's four different offerings. There's the new shelter belt plantings, shelter belt renovations, riparian shrub clumps, and our hardwood release program. Each of these have different cost share dollar amounts and some different parameters. But here's a planting, a 2026 planting in McCook County, where the landowner is utilizing the new shelter belt planting program to add additional rows onto his CRP tree planting. So using 2 milligrams to kind of bolster that shelter belt there. Some other opportunities for programs are a wetland restoration program designed to restore previously drained wetlands. We have a variety of grazing infrastructure and pasture management cost share opportunities, depending on the site, location throughout the state, and different grazing management that's taking place. And then we have our riparian habitat enhancement program, a fairly new program to the department, designed to repair and improve our riparian areas to keep that vegetative banks so that we don't have as much erosion going into our larger waterways. This is our grassland establishment and pollinator plot program. We provide some cost share on both of those to get seed, cover some seed costs. It's a 10-year program for producers. And I'm going to have an example of one of these coming up here in a future slide. The grassland establishment must be at least 10 acres, and our pollinator plots are between that 1 and 3 acre size. Those take a little bit more management and establishment. When talking about habitat conservation, I have to mention partnerships. If you remember that slide from the very beginning where it showed our 12 biologists across the state, here's a slide where we add in a bunch of partners and you see the private land biologists where it kind of fills in some gaps from different agencies. So we work out with these folks with more. This doesn't mention everyone. We have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Partners for Fish and Wildlife Program that are tremendous partners throughout the state, as well as conservation districts who pass a lot of landowner contacts to us and implement a lot of the projects that we work with, so grass seedings and tree plantings. In South Dakota, we really have a great relationship with many of the organizations. And I also have to mention that this partnership isn't just outside of our agency, but interagency collaboration. So we've got WDF staff, we've got COs, we have other staff that are having regular interactions with landowners, and they connect those with the private lands biologists. So a lot of diverse program options and all to come meet a goal of habitat and access on the landscape. Speaking of partner programs, here is a recent or relatively new program, I guess, but gaining a lot of ground across the state. This is the Riparian Buffer Initiative program through the Department of Ag and Natural Resources. As a private lands biologist, I help implement a lot of these programs of this type on the landscape. So this program is designed to create buffers along accepted streams and lake shores to help clean up our waterways, provide habitat as, you know, things are filtering to those water sources. This is a Moody County project that I worked on. And this landowner, you can see here, the riparian area, this was a dry year, so there was minimum flow, but very grazed down cattle trails, sloughed banks, and just a year rest after this producer put this pasture into a program, this is what it looks like here. So pretty neat to see, and there's a lot more of these in the works. Just need to get some contract signatures and some pretty cool things to come, I think, with this program on our both our lakes and streams. Here's an example of a grassland establishment through Game Fish and Parks. This is a landowner in Minnehaha County, a pretty unique project to the area. This is 68 acres in size. So that's for some of the stuff going on at West River, that's pretty small, but in this area along the I-29 corridor, 68 acres of cropland turning back to grass is pretty substantial. So these this landowner is utilizing our program for cost share for grass seed, but then they're also going to be using the Ducks Unlimited RCPP program, which is going to provide 2 to 3 years of per acre payment based on the county rental rates while this grass establishes. So the idea there is to offset some of the foregone income that the landowner is getting by seeding it back to grass until the grass is established, and then they can put cattle and utilize the forage in the future. So pretty neat project happening. This was just seeded a month ago, so I really don't have any pictures to show progress, but I was out there last week with the landowner, and you can start to row out some of those native grasses. So pretty neat to see. This landowner is also going to be adding fence and water so he can make it a all-around grazing rotation. Going to touch on, most of you probably know about these programs, but we work with these on a daily basis. Going to run through them real quick. Our walk-in area program for public access, our controlled hunting access program, or CHAP, so the landowner can kind of control some of the things that happen out there on the land, number of hunters, species hunted, etc. The co-op walk-in access, hunting area access, so allowing folks to drive on it to retrieve or set and retrieve waterfowl decoys. And then our Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, both in the Big Sioux River watershed and the James River watershed. Here's a landowner here up in Brookings County who enrolled his property in CREP, really has some nice interactions with hunters, and always get pictures or phone calls about new things that pop up every year plant-wise. So a lot of flowers coming up that he hadn't seen before. I wanted to highlight this project here. So this is a new to 2026 walk-in area down in Lincoln County. This is an area that doesn't have a ton of public access, but really neat how four programs are coming together from four different agencies to create habitat and access on the landscape. So first off, from walk-in access, Game Fish and Parks is providing funding for the access there. Public access to habitat program through Pheasants Forever is also adding money on top of that for the undisturbed acres. And then the RBI program through the Department of Ag and Natural Resources is going to be creating a buffer along this creek here. And then some existing CRP that is going on over here to take some of the other marginal cropland acres out of production and create habitat. So pretty neat to see that all coming together and making both habitat and access in an area that doesn't have a ton. And then I have to mention the Benson Chap on the south side of Brandon. The Bensons have really been nice to get to know. It's a longstanding chap where with that program, the landowner can set the parameters that they want. And for the Bensons, it was they want no more than four hunters per day. So they don't restrict the species that can be hunted, but up to four hunters per day can hunt that property. Kind of neat, pulled up last week to pick up some slips. A lot of our chat program has gone to an online portal. The Bensons still put out their slips every day for hunters to get. So with that slip is a return slip that the hunters provide after they hunt. And so I was collecting some of those, and I pulled up to two strutting toms right beside our check-in station last week. So pretty cool to see a lot of opportunity, and they must have known that the season ended. So, really been great to get to know the Bensons. They always have great things to say about the hunters, and they have some good interactions with them as well. And on those slips, it's always the hunter is really appreciative of that access that they provide on their property. Then finishing up, I did want to mention a few of the challenges that we may see or currently see and may see in the future. And then also with those challenges, of course, come opportunities. So seeing a lot and hearing a lot about land changing hands. With that comes new landowners, new values, new goals. That can be good, bad, but either way, connections can be made with those new landowners, and both that education and outreach can take place. Land prices and rent prices. I know that's a big deal across the state, but quite prevalent here along the I-29 corridor. So that can make conservation and habitat programs tough at times, but these ability to stack some partner programs and really make it work in somebody's operation has been valuable. Then urban expansion, both around our larger cities and our smaller cities. Great to see, you know, communities growing, but it's creating some challenges in a way. We get some smaller parcel sizes expanding out into what were rural areas, but quite a bit of opportunity for education and outreach there. And then, of course, through all of this, building relationships that new and old, and bolstering those has been beneficial for creating habitat and access on the landscape. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions if we have time.
Yeah. Any questions from the commission? Comments? Well, when you have the partnerships that come up, what is the breakdown in terms of some of those individuals reaching out to you and different individuals that represent you across the state versus our department reaching out to them?
Yes, Madam Chair. The we work with a lot of these agencies on a daily basis. So I'm frequently working with Pheasants Forever, conservation districts. They're sending people my direction, but they're also, we're looking out for what's going to work best in a producer's operation. So if it's somebody else, a partner program that's going to work best for them, then we connect them and try to get that going. And they do the same across the state. We're really lucky to have close partnerships, both within the agency and outside of the agency for getting projects on the ground.
Thank you. Additional questions from the commission? Comments?
Madam Chair,
Director.
If I may, thank you, Madam Chair. Will, would you, first, great job on the presentation. Would you go back towards the beginning, your map of the private lands biologists? I think you had that towards the very beginning.
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to remind the commissioners, one of the strategies that we put into our priority of habitat and access. You can go back a short 6 years ago, right at about 2000, and this map would have had basically three individuals covering the state of South Dakota as true field biologists, and then one senior biologist that served more as a team leader, although he went out in the field as well and worked with landowners. So we really basically had four private lands biologists working with landowners across the state. When we implemented our habitat and access priority as an agency and really ramped it up to the next level, one of the things that we recognized real quickly is we needed more private lands biologists, because to make hay, if I may use that phrase, we needed more staff to work with private landowners, since our state is privately owned for the most part. And so this map looks significantly different going from 4 to 12, but we truly believe that it was important to have more private lands biologists available working with our partnership positions, as Will's talking about, but more importantly, the landowners across the state. We've made some great progress by doing this, right? But it came with a little bit of growing pain, because how we got there was by repurposing other positions in our agency, in particular Division of Wildlife. But we believe very, very strongly in this priority of habitat and access. And to this day, we know the benefits coming just from some of the examples that Will shared with you today. One other example, I think, Will, when you were talking about food plots, this year we had 1,700 cooperators. Is that right across the state?
That was pulled from last year, but it pretty similar. Yes.
1,700. So just to give you an example of how that has changed. When I came to the agency in 2005 as the upland game biologist, at that time, the food plot program, Woody Habitat, was administered by the upland game biologist in the position I had. For those 3 years that I did it, we were averaging right around 800 to 900 on an annual basis of cooperators across the state in the food plot program. So we basically have doubled it in the last 20 years. And I know more of that has happened in the last 6 years as we've done some of these types of changes. So I just wanted to share a couple of those examples that these folks that you're seeing here are conservation officers, other staff that are working with landowners across the state, and with other partners of ours, are making great strides in putting habitat on the ground and more access opportunities. If we build it, they will come, and we provide the places for them to go, then we have more places for them to enjoy it. So hopefully you can see some of the fruits of our labor and some of the examples he shared, but habitat and access is and will remain our priority moving forward.
Very good. Thank you for that, Director Kirshen. Any comments from the commission? I'm seeing good job from across the table. Good job, Will. We appreciate the information and the knowledge in the report.
Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we are going to call it a day for today. We will be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. right here. So we will be at ease until 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.